through verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. To summarize just a little bit, again, to say that every human being that born in this world is born in Adam. Born in sin, sin by nature, and sin by action. We tend to sin all the time. It's by nature and by what we get from Adam. So we're sinners. Sinners by birth and sinners by choice. But then, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord, then we become the child of God. So now, instead of being in Adam, we would be in Christ. In Christ. So in 1 John 3:10 it says, child of God or child of the devil. Child of God or child of the devil. So on these two men hang the eternal destiny of every human being that ever lives on earth. Now, I've been going over these ideas for some time, making progress every time I speak, and eventually, let me just give you a heads up, and that is, eventually I'd like to go and go right to the consummation, right to eternity. And that means that sooner or later I'd like to get in portions of Revelation that really pleases me personally very, very, very much. Wherefore it says in verse 12 of chapter 5, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and the death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All evil, of course, followed upon the fall of Adam, our first father. Don't listen to those people who say that somehow we came from this or that, and this creature and that creature, and have developed over billions of years and millions of years and so on and so forth. God tells us that we're all sinners and we are children of Adam. And we have his nature, and we became guilty and corrupted. Guilty and corrupted. And we have sinned. We willfully have sinned. And of course, death by sin. Death is the wages of sin. It's temporal death. The wages of sin is death. Every person here, if the Lord did not come, every person, I hate to say it, I hope the Lord comes. I hope the Lord comes now. John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. That was a couple of thousand years ago. But at the proper time, he's going to come. But we're going to die otherwise, physically. But those who are in Adam, stay in Adam, they're going to even die spiritually, and they're going to die eternally. Not us, thank God. Thank God, not us. And then, of course, verse 19 again, let me just quote, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's Christ, shall many be made righteous. Oh, thank God for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have no idea how precious the death and how valuable the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is on our behalf. We have no idea. We are justified. We are justified through his death, through his shed blood. We are justified through his blood, and we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption through his blood. Here's what it says. It says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. That's what the Apostle Paul did before he was saved. Going back all the traditions, the decrees and so on, inventions of men, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood, precious to God, so precious that he's willing, such a sweet smelling sacrifice is the full ransom of Christ. He is willing, God is willing, and not only willing, but he has accepted the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his beloved Son, as the full ransom price of our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, what a wonderful, wonderful privilege it is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as propitiation, the God-satisfying and God-pleasing sacrifice. Every sinner who gets saved, there is tremendous rejoicing, not only by God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, but also with heaven itself. Everyone is rejoicing. Everyone is rejoicing. And I have mentioned in the past the wonderful privileges that follow salvation. We become sons of God. What a privilege it is to get up, or when we're praying, to call God our Creator and our Sustainer, Father, Abba Father, the most valuable Father. What a relationship we have to call him at any time, any time. He is never asleep. I don't know how many times, at times, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, giving thanks to him, and tell him I love him. I really think that I mentioned that so often. Lord, I love you. I don't know what you saw in me that you would die for me. And yet you are a God of love, a God of love. Great blessing of the gospel is that we have now free access to God. Free access to God. What a privilege it is. His blood has satisfied for the sins which debarred men from divine presence at one time. Lord Jesus Christ's blood is the fundamental, is the basis, the very basis, which makes God to rejoice in saving us, because the Lord Jesus Christ has satisfied all of God's demands concerning our sins. And we are justified in Christ Jesus through his blood. And we are declared to be righteous. We are declared to be saints. We are declared to be priests because of the bloodshed of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have access to the very heart of God without any human priesthood to intervene between us, like in the Old Testament. Aaron himself could only get into the Holy of Holies once a year. Once a year, I go into his presence probably, if I say 20 times a day, I would not be wrong. Just brief, I love you, Lord. This is the day which the Lord, my Lord, hath made. You will rejoice and be glad in me. Every morning I get up, this is the day which the Lord, my Lord, hath made. You will rejoice and be glad in me. I say that a few times. What a privilege, what a privilege. No human priesthood and no material sacrifice. No material sacrifice. No, we don't need a sheep or goats or bulls or anything. The Lord Jesus has done it once and for all. Once and for all. What a tremendous, tremendous privilege. Now, so Gospels preach the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then of course the apostles and the writings in New Testament following, you know, the epistles and so on. They keep expanding and expanding and expanding about what the Lord has said when he was here physically, and also what the Lord was saying through his spirit through the apostles and those who wrote portions of the New Testament. Now, as we are going and we're enjoying being in Christ Jesus and enjoying all the benefits that he has for us, and Lord Jesus Christ being in us, guiding and basically directing our lives, and also the Holy Spirit and also God himself, what a privilege. As the church is going through until the end, I just mentioned one, and that is, in the early church history, we see, I wish this were not true, but it's there, and it's in the Word of God, and I mention it again, long and woody wars with the powers of darkness. Now, why would God allow this? Well, God knows the best, and our Bible is the Word of God, inspired Word of God, and God knows what's going on, but ultimately the main thing is that God, through all the trials and tribulations, is trying to pull people back to himself. Even in Revelation, he's trying on and on and on and on to bring people back to himself. What a God we have. But as the church is going through this world, in Ephesians 6, we see it says the wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. Wow. So here we see that as we are journeying through this world, against the dark hidden world that were in high places at that time, civil magistrates and so on, Roman governors even during the apostolic time. And even today we hear Cameroon and crisis there, and in India even. I was asking Sister Lily, who was telling us that a lot of Christians are being persecuted in India. The Hindus are persecuting the Christians. And so I happened to think, I said, well, you know, I have studied many, many, many years ago about India and all the British Empire, all these different countries that the British ruled. And I said, India, to my knowledge, has a large Muslim population. So do the Hindus bother the Muslims? She said, no, because the Muslims fight back, but the Christians don't. Well, here it is. It's saying there, you know, here, all these civil magistrates, the governors and all that at that time, and even today in many, many countries, they were used by the devil, of course, who is the real enemy. The devil is the real enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God, and of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called the prince, and then he is called the God of the world. And of course, the devil's wicked spirits, multitudes and multitudes and multitudes, doing his bidding, unclean, proud, lying, deceitful, and malicious. They were watching every advantage against us. Oh, the devil is a great, great enemy, the greatest enemy, the greatest enemy. And he's using people to persecute the children of God. Believers were to be prepared, he says, to be partakers of Christ's sufferings. Christ's sufferings. We don't have, to my knowledge, physical sufferings in this country, but there's a lot of emotional sufferings. And I may, in time, mention a few of these. Partakers of Christ's sufferings. And not to think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Remember what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. What had he done? A man one time told me that Jesus Christ was basically, he used a bad word, but basically he was illegitimate. And right away I'm thinking, well, is that why you all crucified him? Is that why? Even if he were, not that he is, what fault is it his? The parents? Why didn't they crucify the parents? Anyway, but here's the thing, because the devil wants to persecute not only all Christians at that time, but even now. The trials. Christians were to suffer affliction and persecutions which daily came upon them. What? For the sake of Christ and his gospel. And it's signified by fire. Because of the fiery fury of men and the violence and fierceness of their rage. They're called fiery trials. Fiery trials. Now, what follows is something that I have debated in my mind and debated. And then I have come to the conclusion that it is in the Word of God that the church is going to go and has to go through until the Lord comes. And so I thought, well, I think I should go ahead and talk about that also and just keep going until the end. It says, but even worse for the church, and here it is, they were fierce and dangers within. Seven churches of Revelation, seven churches of Asia. God commends them, Lord Jesus Christ commends them for so many nice things that they were doing, but then of course they were forced that he had to go and explain to them. Even at that time, there were local churches, existing churches, people were going to the churches, to those churches, and they were having problems within. Men who had long professed the gospel had need to be taught again. That's one of the things. Why was that? They need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. There's such a thing as, if nothing else, growing lazy. At times I pray about that, Lord, just give me good rest and strength. I don't want to be lazy. Open up opportunities for me to speak to people, to share the gospel if I have to, and also to just explain to them the Word of God, those who come and inquire, and some people do come and inquire. They were turning back to the weak and beggarly elements, some of them, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. That we see that in Galatians 4 and 5. They're Christians. Bad teachings, and yet they're listening. They're listening. Judaizers. They were turning back to ordinances of the ceremonial law. Weak and beggarly. Of course, beggarly because they lay in the observation of things of little or no importance as meats and drinks and so on. Because they could not give life. These things in the Old Testament could not give life. Could not give righteousness, could not give peace, could not give joy, could not give comfort, could not give salvation. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can give all of that. And the basis of that is that he died for our sins. His very soul was made an offering for our sins. Propitiation. God pleasing and satisfying sacrifice. Don't go back to the Old Testament. Never saved. Oh yes, believers in the Old Testament were saved. That's because they were looking forward to that wonderful sacrifice and death of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, thank God. We're going to see Moses. We're going to see Elijah. we're going to see Peter, James, and John. Thank God, of course, that Peter, James, and John were after, they witnessed the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's fine. But they were looking, the whole value of our salvation is based on the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Since the coming of Christ, all the ordinances became important. Of their effect to all the users that they once served. They were all shadows. They were all shadows. You have the tabernacle. What a wonderful study. It takes a lifetime to really, really study the tabernacle and all the significant things that they typified. What a wonderful study that is. But the objective is, of course, the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Typified in every aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were shadows of good things. The riches of grace. They didn't have the riches of grace. As I mentioned, we could go to God and call upon Him day and night. Have access to the very person of God. Aaron could go in once a year. Have to offer blood for himself and the people. The riches of grace and glory which come by Christ. Oh, thank God for the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus. People tell me, I had a lady, she tries to impress me, and she talks about how she's so good, and she just likes to get along with the Hindus, and she appreciates their religion, and then, of course, the this and that, Mohammedans, and this and that, and that. I feel like telling her deep down, you know, Hindus, Mohammedans, and all. Could they turn to Christ? Yes, they can, but if they don't, they're going to go to hell. So-called nominal Christians, those who may go to church all their lives, if they don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and Lord, they're going to die and go to hell. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. There's nothing righteous about us if we're not saved. Shadows. They were all shadows in the Old Testament. And of course, the Galatians were ungrateful after they had been blessed with so much grace. They got saved. A lot of those people got saved in such clear gospel light and knowledge. And yet they were deceived. Can Christians be deceived? Yes, they can. They can. How is that? Well, if we don't study the Word of God, if we don't know the Word of God, we should be growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, of course, you know, like Peter says, you know, yes, desire the sincere of the world, the milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. But then, you know, after you grow, you want solid food. Solid food. Had such clear gospel light and knowledge. But then this coldness and wilderness of spirit that were seen, all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. These are so sad things. After people have been delivered from an eternal hell and punishment, all seek their own. It's in the Bible. Philippians 2:21. Contentions became rife. We're talking about the New Testament time. Are there contentions in churches? Well, thank God the good health that we have here in this church. But I hear contentions. I mentioned this before and I'll mention it again. I was in California one time, and I went to the assembly. I had been there before. Well, I think I had. But anyway, I went there. And after the Breaking of Bread meeting, we had a break. And this gentleman came to me. I had never seen him nor met him in my whole life. Introduced himself, or I don't even know if he introduced himself. But anyway, I introduced myself. I was introduced to the meeting without being a Breaking of Bread meeting anyway. But it didn't take him a minute before he started bad-mouthing all the elders of that meeting. And I asked him, I said, do the elders know how you feel about them? And let me just say here something about the elders. When God says, respect the elders, it's just like this. God says, respect President Obama because he is president. Respect President Trump because he is president. Respect President Bush because he is president. And when it comes to elders, that office is esteemed so highly. It goes above and beyond the human person that is occupying that office. And this is why I try to tell people, an elder, the office of an elder in the office of a deacon is very, very precious and highly esteemed by God. And we have to consider that office and not necessarily the people or persons there. I have long tried to say this, but I haven't, but tonight is a good time because it just mixes in. God esteems him very highly. The contentions rife, and here's this man, bad mouthing elders. Man, if you have something in elderly that's solid, that is really something that you could prove and all, I think you ought to go and beg to get together with the elders and pray and all that, and if it's something that is very, very serious, just discuss it with them in closed doors. Not to come to me a total stranger and tell me how bad they are. Oh, what a terrible thing that was. Contentions. And then at the same time, and this is another thing that's amazing, the prophetic intimations made the prospect more dark. God, through his inspired word, is telling us in his book, for the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Wow. Bible says that. Don't let it take you by sudden surprise, even though I agonize over these verses as I read and study. We're weak. Paul said, I keep under my body and bringing it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a tester. I myself should be disqualified. He is the one who could say, I have fought a good fight. Who else could say that? I have fought a good fight. And then he goes on to say, I have finished my course. I have kept faith. Henceforth, oh what? There is a reward for me. The God, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. From the trials. Paul knew all about it. Knew all about it. And even though he even gave his life. There would be scoffers in the last days, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Scoffers. Scoffers. It's going to take a fairly long time, but I'm not going to finish it. Let me just bring a few things as to these scoffers and so on. First of all, you have the mockers. These are scoffers. They mock. They mock. And what do? They would make mock at sin. In other words, they would make light of it. Make light of it. Oh, we have that today. We have that today. Get on the streets. At times, I go to the gym. Most, if not all of you know. At times, I look at the man and I have to look and examine, I don't know how long before I realize he's a man. There he is. No decency whatsoever. Just painted and polished and everything, and then the same as the human. Light of it, light of sin, light of human vision, light of for a man to be a man and a woman be a woman. And openly committed. Openly committed. Sin is so tolerated today. So tolerated today that when a person is trying not to sin, he's ridiculed. And they glory in it. I have heard. I distance myself as much as I can. Yeah. People glory in sin. Well, we had a wonderful time. I was so drunk I couldn't get home. And so they describe other immoral conduct and everything else as if they're so proud of it. Glory in it. And at the same time, they throw out their jeers at the most spiritual people. That guy is a holy, no, stay away from him. So, is there persecution? Of course there is. Physical? May not be. There's persecutions. Persecutions. And the just and upright are left to scorn. I think that I should stop here because I want to continue, and I may continue and not have time. So I'll continue next time from here, Lord willing. But brothers and sisters, the main thing is this. That we need to put our full trust in God, and full trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be willing to be led by the Spirit, to obey His Word, to obey God's Word, to study His Word, and to obey, and to be able to meditate on His Word all day if we can, and to be able to retrieve from inside of our minds, our hearts, and be able to share with other people. Oh, what a blessing it is. Days are very, very short. By God's grace and love, 84 years old. I don't know how, where all those years went. I have no idea. Year 2000, I retired, and I thought, well, I maybe have just two or three more years. 2000, 18 years or 17 years. Where did they go? But thank God that, you know, I have been... have the privilege of studying God's Word, and it's just such a wonderful thing to do, and I enjoy it. But just think about the Lord, think about His goodness, think of eternal life, what we have, versus eternal damnation, hell, forever, unending, lake of fire, brimstone, on and on. Million, billion, trillion years from now, it's just as if it just started. No respite, nothing. And we have Christ. Christ, let's treasure him, his word. His word. And if we have to be persecuted for him, then there's glory in that persecution because it's for his name. Our Father, we are so thankful. Father, we know that you have put these words in your book for us to read and to think about and to just move closer and closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and seek his compassion and seek your compassion and keep in touch, not only in touch, Heavenly Father, but be absolutely, absolutely dependent on your goodness to us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would strengthen us spiritually, that we would not fall in these traps that the devil is always trying to do. We just give you thanks for this group, and we give you thanks for this place, and we give you thanks for your word, of course. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.